Welcome to another amazing episode of Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. When Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He's talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447. Now on with the show, with WTF, Where's the Focus, and your host, Kevin Phillips. Brain Injury Radio Network's only disabled Marine veteran, TBI thriver, and spiritual being having a human experience. Brought to you by TBILaw.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to, it is, what are we, October? Wow, we're almost halfway there to Halloween nowadays, folks, and we are excited about bringing tonight's show to you. We are, I'm joined here by the marvelous Maggie in the chat room. So those folks that are joining us online, you can join us on the chat room at braininjuryradio.com. And I'd like to thank Craig Cecilia, our founder of Brain Injury Radio Network, for his daily dedication to continue to support this show. And we are looking forward to bringing you new and more informative shows and information amongst the Brain Injury Radio hosts. So stay tuned for that. Folks, tonight we are talking about some movies, what's unique and about these particular movies is that they are associated with traumatic brain injuries. And, I mean, there's, you know, movies being released on a weekly basis. And, you know, we've all got our favorites and what have you, but in recent times, I've noticed an increase of people with disabilities appearing in not only TV shows, but also movies, and as well as they're making movies specifically around, you know, traumatic brain injuries. One of the first ones that I actually had, it's an older one, from 1993, was Dream Rider. Starred James Earl Jones, and was written by a gentleman that I actually had the pleasure and honor of meeting at the TBI statewide conference here in Washington State earlier this year, Mr. Bill Brown. And amazing gentleman. He's put this together. It was inspired by events that he had to deal with personally. So one of the unique things that in the movie is that, you know, while the intent of the movie was to show the progression or what life is like with a traumatic brain injury, even the writer of the movie had shared that Hollywood got a hold of it and had kind of made it about something, made it about this bike ride across America. And so the original message had kind of gotten lost. And he's working on an additional movie right now, but and that's coming out specifically for, hang on a second, let me pull it up. So that's going to be another movie specifically around brain injuries. Another one that I had really made an impression upon me recently was a movie by, and I'm associated with it because this guy's initials, I shared the guy's, we shared the same initials, KP. Kevin Pierce, he was a world known snowboarder. And world-renowned snowboarder, even better, had in some circles had been viewed as better than Shaun White, who had actually represented the United States in the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and up until he had sustained a, you know, blow to the head while practicing. And he had what this particular movie does is it's a documentary film which premiered in January 2013. So this is a really recent movie. But it documents the, you know, not only a little bit about his life before the brain injury, so you can see, you know, the type of life that he had and what he was doing and going towards up until he sustained his traumatic brain injury. It's a great movie to watch, especially for those that may have an interest in snowboard or winter type activities. Or may even be interested or have their, and this goes, this is applicable to folks without brain injuries. Part of my big reason for being involved in Brain Injury Radio is to be able to share my experiences and to get other people who have experienced similar circumstances with their brain injury to be able to better inform those that are just now coming around to learning what a brain injury is like. And so this film, Crash Reel, really hit the – what was exciting about it is because he was a young kid, 18 – I think he was like 18 years old when it occurred. It shows the progress of his, dealing with his injury from, the time that it occurred to – and it followed him along for a couple years, about a year. I'm sorry. He had won things such as the Arctic Challenge in 2007, and won back-to-back titles in 2008. He was first man to earn two air and style rings in one style one season, winning the Nokia Air Style in Munich 2007. Folks, I'm just reading this stuff off of Wikipedia, but so I encourage you to find it yourself. I just Googled his name, Kevin Pierce. But what's great about this is that, there's one scene towards the end of the movie where he's having a conversation with a friend of his who also had sustained a traumatic brain injury, and it was very evident. I mean, one of the things I want to encourage folks to remember is that like attracts like. Wouldn't be surprised, with the rate that people are sustaining head trauma nowadays and traumatic brain injuries, you can pretty much all guarantee if you have one, at least two other people that may have a brain injury as well. Doesn't mean that you're in any danger or there's anything to worry about. It's just, it's a growing epidemic. It's kind of like the silent epidemic, as Craig Cecilia said, but it's nothing to be get your panties in a bunch over. In fact, a lot of folks, my daughter's mother seems to have this perception of people with brain injuries as it being a bad thing. This is part of the reason why I continue to do and learn more, not only about my brain injury, but how to better educate other people that have sustained brain injuries. By giving them information like, things that they can reference from and kind of learn that they're not alone. That's one of the biggest things that a battle that I had fought for about the first 5 years after my brain injury. As, being a Marine, that Marine mentality, we don't need anything. We can improvise, overcome, and adapt. And that's why I did... had built a online business and developed a website and to help the Marine Corps with their Marine Corps birthday ball. And while these are things that I could do, everything that entails a business, for those that might be listening that own businesses, you can understand that there's so many different aspects related to running a business that it can't be done by a single person. Back to the show here with the movies with Crash Reel. I encourage folks to check this movie out because and if there's any, I kind of put a list of movies that we were going to be talking about there. So if any movies that you have experienced or watched that were mentioned were traumatic brain injuries, give us a call. You can call us tonight at 424-243-9540 Share your stories about the movies that have inspired you despite your brain injury. One thing that all these movies have in common that we're talking about tonight is, you know, they were not just somebody had a brain injury, but they were designed around the premise of the movie was because, you know, these characters had sustained head trauma. Moving on, we had a movie called 51st Dates. This was released back in 2004 and starred Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. And for those that may not be aware, this was a great cute movie about a gal who had sustained head trauma and couldn't remember things much more than 24 hours. And, you know, I, with my brain injury, sometimes I'm unable to recount things, but with prompting, you know, most of the time I'm able to remember the vital and important stuff. And for things that, you know, I also have alarms set up on my clock or my my phone, smartphone. But these are things that, you know, I've set up in order to help me continue to be functional. But with 51st Dates, you know, despite the, you know, challenges that she experienced or the things that she had set up, it didn't do any good. It was, her memory was only good for about 24 hours. So we can all relate to that. And for those that may have not listened before, you know, I have shared this concept about the law of polarity. It's a scientific law, actually. It says for everything that could be defined, there is an opposite. So understanding that, you know, we see people out there that forget things. You know, if you forget things, hey, raise your hand, because I do too. But it's not that I forget them. I just temporarily can't recount them. But like I said, I've with the help of the marvelous Maggie here, we've been able to create a much more enjoyable and functional day-to-day life. When my daughter comes, one of the things we do is we do watch a lot of movies. It has been a great way for me to not only, you know, reading has been a challenge. I don't know what it is. Sitting down to read a book seems to be a hard of a task, sitting down to watch a movie for 2.5 hours, you know, it seems a little bit more efficient. It was something I did as a kid when I have to do book reports, you know, rather than spending a week trying to read a book about something, all my book reports happen to have movies that were made. And so I kind of, you know, got developed a passion or an interest in movies because of the information. Now, one of the things that I've shared with my daughter is that I don't watch just any movies. There's got to be a reason for it. A lot of the stuff that I watch nowadays is it's either based off a true story or, you know, true events, you know, basically. And so it's not all fantasy and makeup, you know, but there's a lot of truth to the movies that are being portrayed out. And one of the most recent movies that Maggie and I watched, in fact, I was kind of reviewing it before we started the show tonight, was a movie called The Lookout. And this particular movie, what's his name, a kid from Third Rock from the Sun, Jason Gordon Levitt, played in it. He also, same guy that starred in the movie Loopers. But he portrays this character who sustained a brain injury while, you know, driving an automobile. And friends' lives were lost in the movie, and another passenger's life was altered. You know, it starts out where he's having to, you know, recount what his daily activities are. And what was interesting is the way it was portrayed in the movie was very accurate. So if you happen to watch the movie, I'd love to hear your thoughts on any of these movies that we've talked about tonight. You can just give us a call at 424-243-9540, and we'll just follow the prompts and we'll bring you on. In fact, I got a caller right now. I'm going to bring them on. Let's see here. From 484 area code. Welcome to WTF movie night with Kevin. Here we are. Who am I speaking with tonight?
Hello, Kevin, and hello, Maggie. This is Jenny.
Hello there, Jenny. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, and I love the idea of movie night because that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best 2.5 hours, you know, depending upon how long the movie, but, I mean, it's a great way for folks to escape from whatever it is they're doing, you know. And growing up as a kid, it was like Friday nights, that was movie night. So what about you? I mean, was that something that you had growing up or become accustomed to?
Well, I don't remember 42 years of my life.
Oh, wow.
I am to the last 6.5, and because I have such a short attention span and I get tired so easy, I have been unable to sit through full movies. Until recently, a movie came out that I so totally connected to that you did not promote tonight, but I wanted to say absolutely anybody that's interested, it's by Hallmark. It's called Remember Sunday. It's about a man who was a professional scientist on the verge of discovery, and he had something that blew in his brain, in one of his arteries, and it just stopped everything. He woke up every day and had no idea who he was. He had to start all over every morning, just like 51st Dates, and he had one of those pens that would actually, and he had folders and files, and he would learn about what he went through and everything every day, and he met a woman. And it was absolutely the most wonderful movie I've ever seen. And I connected to it so much that I actually watched it 4 times in one day and then turned around and watched it 4 times the very next day. It was the most accurate, right on the spot. And it was not fluffy and silly or goofy. It was actually reality, and I loved it.
Wow. Okay, it's called
Remember Sunday.
Good. Great title for those of us with brain injuries. Remember what? So Remember Sunday. Yeah, I'm on the HallmarkChannel.com website checking it out right now. So great share. I will definitely check that one out. That is one I haven't seen before. But, folks, that's a great opportunity to check out another movie. So anything else? I mean, have you seen any of the ones that we had mentioned on the preview for tonight's show by chance?
Yeah, well, I've seen 51st Dates, and I loved the compassion and the love that she shared with him and he shared towards her regardless, and the compassion from the family to accommodate her, to give her life and love and family. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful. But it was done in a very fun, silly way, which is great. But Remember Sunday is not about that. There's no silliness. There's no funny. I mean, there's some cute stuff that happens, like the little boy that knows he forgets and always says, hey, you owe me $5. And his mom is always saying, no, you don't owe him $5. He always tells you that. Every day he does the same thing.
Yeah, that's been I like that aspect about the movie too, with the specifically about the family, because a lot of times our family members look at us as though, you know, we should still be functioning the way we were before. And so that was one of the inspiring things that I liked about 51st Dates, is that they did have, you know, the compassion, and, you know, they didn't force her into, you know, doing something that, you know, they thought she should be doing. It was, how can we help you?
Well, I actually feel very strongly about that, because if you remember, as babies and as infants, we are not born with identities. We have to develop them in time, and she developed them with assistance.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that I want to encourage listeners, and, you know, whether you have a brain injury or have a family member that has a brain injury, give them time. It takes a while, you know, and it's a very frustrating thing for us ourselves, you know, to see your, you know, the looks on your faces when we, you know, may say or do something. And it's like, oh, okay, crap, you know, I didn't mean to do that or, you know, say that, but it you know, I can't take it back now. You know, it's a matter of you know, growing from it. You know, you mentioned that you had watched that movie 4 times.
Four times a day.
Yeah, 8 times in 2 days. I mean, that's you know, repetition is the second law of learning, you know. I'm sure you learned a lot, and that's great. That's why, you know, I've got quite the collection of movies that I will watch repeatedly. Not, you know, because I forgot, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll look to Maggie and be like, we'll start watching a movie and we'll be like, this seems familiar, and then we'll both almost unanimously at the same time go, okay, yeah, we have seen this one before. Let's watch it anyways.
I found a quote by Albert Einstein that relates to everyone, brain injury or not. Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new.
Nice. Say that again.
Anyone who has never made a mistake has never tried anything new.
Very true, very true. I mean, we have got, just because we got a brain injury doesn't mean that we're exempt from having to do things. I mean, we can't just, sit around and expect people to take care of us, you know. Maggie does a lot of things for me, but these are things that, you know, if I attempt to do unsupervised, you know, can have disastrous results. You know, it's not because of anything I would intend to do. It's just, you know, I could get distracted. So, you know, we've developed a great way to communicate our needs to one another as well as, you know, working together.
I also want to suggest for any brain injury survivors and their loved ones to watch some of these movies and use it as an opportunity for cuddle time with no excuse or reason to ask for it. Just spend time together.
I like that. That's very true. I mean, we do need to spend time with our family members, and a movie is a great way to just kind of, you know, not necessarily tune out, but tune into the same location. And all because everybody's watching the movie itself. So it is a great way to connect popcorn, you know, making popcorn. And that's something, you know, I remember one time when I was still married to Ashley's mom, she had twin brothers, and they had a sleepover, and we were going to make popcorn. Well, I grew up making popcorn in the pan and a little bit of oil, salt, and, you know, do it that way. And as I start to do it, these kids are like, what are you doing? I mean, they're just like in complete awe. They've never seen anybody, you know, make popcorn this way. And I said, and I asked them, I said, well, how do you guys make it? And they're like, in the microwave. So I was just like, you know, wow. Really, it was an eye-opener that, you know, something as simple as making popcorn, you know, is completely foreign to, you know, some kids, you know, in today's world. It's like, really? Everything is just instant. And it's not. But, you know, at least not the good things. In the movie, The Lookout. Go ahead.
I was hoping you could tell me the story behind Dream Rider, because I love James Earl Jones, but I've never seen the movie.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. Well, if you, Ryder, I'm going to get a specific link here for you guys. If you just Google Dream Rider, IMDb comes up. Say again?
In one word.
So it's not two words, folks. Dream Rider, the movie. The first link that pops up is a link to IMDb. And it doesn't give that big of a description. I mean, it's real basic. It says a young man loses his leg in a motorcycle, use of words are really poor. But accident, oh, while rehabilitating.
You have seen this movie, correct?
Say again?
You have seen this movie, correct?
I have.
Can you personally, just without reading anything, just kind of describe what is it's about, please? That would be wonderful.
Kid loses his a leg in a automobile incident or motorcycle incident, excuse me, and so it's about his rehabilitation and winds up being inspired by James Earl Jones in this rehabilitation center that James is at, and kind of runs, and it was really funny because he basically the way it says is he does whatever he wants. And And there's one scene where the main character, the kid, says, well, what kind of life is that? And he says, it's a great life because I'm still here. And it really wakes you up to, be more appreciative of the fact that each day we wake up, we are alive. But it goes on where there's one of the things that James Earl Jones does is build these models. And the kid, is inspired. He's like, wow, that's a really, cool model. Where is it? And he says, in Boston. Well, they're in California. And so the kid is inspired to basically ride a bicycle, even though he's got one leg, across America. And it's in an attempt to send a Guinness Book of World Record, which he obviously achieves. But it's a great story because of the older... it's an older movie. It's take it with a grain of salt. It's just kind of it's like a version 1.0 from some of the movies that we've seen in more recent times. But that was kind of like the foundation back in the early 90s. The first movie that was specifically around traumatic brain injuries. Does that
wow.
kind of help line you a little bit more?
That answers a whole lot. I just want everybody to know that Remember Sunday came out this year, only about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's how current it is about brain injury.
Well, that's going to be an enlightening one. I think last year there was a movie called The Vow. That came out with Chatham Tanning and Rachel McAdams. And that story was based on a true story of Kim and Cricket Carpenter. She had basically been involved in an incident, the vow. And, even though they were, when she came back, she had no memory of being married. And so it was, a process of having to remind her, not necessarily remind her, but get her back to that point of accepting that, hey, I am your husband, and this is the life that we had before your incident. And, a lot of times, the vow, the reason why I think it was called the vow was because, they were a newly married couple. And I know I've heard stories where folks in the TBI community that I'm connected to, there was a gal who was recently married, involved in an incident, and her husband wound up leaving her because he couldn't deal with her TBI. He didn't want to. It's like, I didn't sign up for this. But it really makes you wonder, it's like paying attention to the things that we say. As somebody with a brain injury, despite the fact that I might have a misfire, legally still can be held accountable for the things that I say, despite my brain injury. But when we take those vows of marriage, and that's what I think was so unique about this particular movie, and Chatham Tanning did such a wonderful job in the portrayal of it, was his commitment to the vows that he made to this woman, before her brain injury. And so it was very touching and very...
Do
What's
you
that?
Know the lead actor in that? Because I'd really like to look at the movie.
Yeah, that's Channing Tatum is the main character, and Rachel McAdams. Those are the two main characters of the movie.
Thank you.
Other folks, Sam Neill, Scott Speedman, Jessica, you know, people that you would recognize their faces, you know, when you saw them. But great movie to watch, and it's kind of a movie that you can watch with that, you know, hey, your partner. If your partner has a brain injury, I mean, really, I got divorced too. My bride of almost 10 years said the same thing. I can't deal with your TBI anymore, you know. And we got a divorce. You know, it was interesting when I had first joined a TBI group. One of the first guys to come up to me and introduce himself, you know, and one night he had asked if I was married or did I get a divorce, you know, as a result of my brain injury. And I said, yeah. And his statement was like, just so nonchalant was, oh, yeah, it's okay. 90% of people with brain injuries wind up in a divorce. And what made it so funny was he was still married to his wife that he had prior to his brain injury. And it happened like almost 10, 13 years ago. So the fact that he was still married to his wife was that kind of a testament to, you know, hey, while that might be true, you know, look on the bright side. You're not in that. But that doesn't mean other people, you know, won't experience that.
I love the idea of your movies tonight and some mm-hmm. of these, The Vow and, like I said, Remember Sunday and 51st States gives me blessed hope that as a survivor who has nobody in her life, that maybe love will find me, and regardless of where I'm at or how I am, somebody will love me just the way I am.
Well, we love you, Jenny. I mean, that's... And you will. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, when my wife had told me I can't deal with this, I had kind of sensed it was coming. But what was unique was when it wasn't until I put it out there to the universe, you know, and just said, you know what, hey, bring me the person that I need to be with, you know, that's going to be able, and what was unique was Tamara was real encouraging, you know. She was just like, you know, let's find you somebody that can take you to that next level. And, you know, so we sat down and wrote a list of the qualities and characteristics that, you know, I wanted to have in a partner. And that's why I refer to the marvelous Maggie as my partner, because, you know, she's not a possession. She's not a bride. She's a wife, you know. I don't own her. I don't tell her anything other than, you know, what I need. And as a partner, that's what we do. We help one another. If she needs something, she'll let me know, and I'll do that. Most of the time it's, hey, remind me to do this. But she does that. And so we've developed that.
You know what a blessed gift I got tonight?
What's that?
My ex-husband, who I do not remember being married to, and I've not been friends with him. He mentioned something on Facebook to a close friend of mine, and
mm-hmm.
I sent him a private message. I said, I'm probably the last person you ever want to speak to. I said, but I want to say I am sorry for anything I did, because I honestly, truly don't remember, because I only remember the last 6.5 years. But I've seen your video. I know that you have a beautiful son, a wonderful wife, and I'm so proud of you, and I just want to let you know. And he responded so kindly and said, I hope everything's good, and I told him, bless you. And I was
wow.
like, wow, that's... I was able to close happily a door from the past that probably was very ugly.
That's very cool. And, you know, and I saw something earlier today. Until we remove the negative things out of our life, we won't have any room for the positive.
Absolutely. Positive in, negative out. And the only way to get rid of negative is either push it out of your life and let it go and no longer have anything to do with it, or maybe take the chance, the risk. And sometimes it is a risk, but sometimes it's best to just go and say, I'm sorry, I changed, this is how I feel now, and I thank you. And you'll be amazed at how people will react if you take the risk of saying, I'm sorry.
And it's okay because and I want to actually encourage folks to use the word apologize. I apologize because at least just from my – this is my personal thing that I've kind of developed with because I used to say I'm sorry all the time. And I remember having a gal that, you know, it's just like, I don't need you to be sorry, just apologize. And so ever since then, I've you know, if I did something that, you know, oh, crap, I didn't think about beforehand, my apologies for not thinking about that, but I'll take care of that and move forward. But it's kind of like Maggie brought up another great movie, Nemo. Or Finding Nemo, there we go, sorry about that. Finding Nemo. Folks that might remember the movie Dory kind of seemed to be a little somewhat absent-minded, but with Nemo's dad, what was his name? What was Nemo's dad's name?
I remember the movie. I loved the movie.
Let's Google that. What was Nemo's dad's name in Finding Nemo? Let's see if...
I don't remember him ever having a name.
Marlin.
It was all Nemo.
His name was Marlin. There we go. So when Marlin and Dory were, you know, working together, they found him. They worked together, you know. And that's kind of what I another thing. And I think you're right on track here, Jenny. And I want to encourage you to just keep continuing. You know, when you're ready, you know, there's an old adage, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Is that right, Maggie? The Marvelous Maggie? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear? Familiar with that? Go ahead.
I said I love that.
Yeah. So when you're, you know, and that goes for other listeners, you know, it's like, hey, you know, everything happens for a reason. We got to embrace that. Your brain injury didn't occur by accident. It was an incident. You know, you can't change the fact, you know, and that's kind of one of the misnomers about that word, that term. The meaning of accident is to project it shouldn't have occurred or it could have been avoided. And if it could have been avoided, why didn't we? So realistically and logically, in order for us to, you know, grow and create that functional life, we have to embrace the fact that, hey, I got a brain injury. So what? Let's move forward. What's next? I think
the idea of calling it, instead of a traumatic brain injury, accident, I love the idea of calling it a TBI occurrence.
A TBI occurrence. Huh. That's a new one. I could entertain that one. A TBI occurrence.
I thought you would, because when you said occurrence, it just hit me. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not a survivor. I just had an occurrence happen. That's all.
Right, because we can, and how many listeners have had multiple brain injuries?
Multiple occurrences. That's all.
Exactly. Well, I think we do need to get back to, you know, calling things what they are, you know, and it's like I think that was one of the unique things with this most recent government shutdown is it's really woken American people up to what is it that they're really doing here besides nothing. And, you know, it's like as a brain injury thriver, you know, I'm like, I can do more than that. You know, I am doing more than what they are. But it's not – that doesn't qualify me to you know, run the country. But, it, you know, I think we the people together can definitely come together and do something better than what has been transpiring at least for the last, you know, 50, 60 years. But – I digress. Back to the point of the movie show tonight, movies. For those that are just joining us, you're invited to call in at 424-243-9540 and share your experiences with movies that have inspired you since your brain injury, specifically if they've been revolved around traumatic brain injury. Another movie I brought up here was Memento. Guy Pearce was in that, and he had portrayed a guy that had brain injury. Now, one of the things that really stood out with me on this particular movie was the way he introduced himself to everybody. It was real upfront about it. You know, it's like, hey, I have this condition. And what was inspiring about that is kind of helped me recognize that, okay, so what, I do have a brain injury, and it would be beneficial that the people that I deal with are aware that I have a brain injury, so that if my responses may not aren't as desirable, there's other extenuating factors that might, you know, explain that. You know, things like being hungry, am I angry, am I lonely, or am I tired? You know, those are the four big things that you know, most people tend to portray negative responses as a result of, you know, because how many times, you know, who else gets irritable when they get hungry? I know I do. And Lord knows the Maggie does. You know, it's recognizing, you know, those little things, those irritants, and ensuring that we, you know, curtail those by, you know, making sure that we eat. I mean, society says, oh, you eat three times a day. But scientifically and biologically, we should be eating six times a day, you know, just smaller portions. Our bodies digest the food that we consume inside of about 2 hours. So after 2 hours after we consume something, our stomachs are empty, and it starts to feed off of our bodies. So it's important to always have, you know, something on our stomachs, even if it's something real light like an apple. But back to the movie, Memento. I think I found out today that it was a remake. European version of it, and called Remember. And so for those folks that like Guy Pearce, definitely, it's kind of a twisted movie. It's one of those movies you can't watch just one time and go and get it. Yeah, Memento. You definitely have to watch that movie multiple times. Kind of like how Jenny watched Remember Sunday four times. May not need to watch it that many times, but at least once more. It's one of those movies that will make you go, what the, huh? And but after you watch it the second time, it all makes perfect sense. Especially for, you know, because I had actually watched this movie. This came out in September of 2000, and I remember watching it with my former bride, Tamara. And after the movie was over, we were just kind of looking at each other like, okay, that was kind of a twisted, weird movie, but okay. Because of the filming sequence is what really makes it stand out, similar to like how, what was that one? With John Travolta and, what is that one? What's that? Pulp Fiction. Yeah, it's filmed similar to that movie Pulp Fiction. It jumps around. And so it's somewhat hard to follow, especially even if you don't have a brain injury. So
well,
just food for thought there.
Remember Sunday is a start to finish. Wonderful. There's no trying to follow it. I didn't watch it 8 times in 2 days because I couldn't get it. It was because the movie's so connected with my heart that I was driven to watch it again and again and again. It connected with me so much.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I'm going to check that out. See if Netflix has got that. Remember Sunday on Netflix. See if they've got it on there. We're multitasking here, folks, you know, getting that, you know, checking out the information. Anyways, so any other movies that you might Any other movies that have inspired you since your TBI journey there, Jen?
Movies, no, because I have such trouble watching movies. I watch, like, one-hour shows, and those are really hard. But I'm, like, into Charmed and things, silly stuff like that. I'm like Disney and things that don't have scary commercials. I don't like watching primetime most of the time because the news scares me still.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was watched the news last night. Yesterday afternoon, I had heard that caught an email from the Democratic Party, received an email saying, you know, hey, the Democrats have reopened the government. And I'm sitting there going, like, okay, well, this ought to be interesting. So I turned on the news, and Channel 10, Fox, not one mention of it. And so at 11 o'clock, I flip it over to NBC and watch, you know, our local news there, and absolutely no mention of it there. So it really stands to wonder. It's like, wait a minute here. You know, what's going on? Why is it that the Republicans for the past couple of weeks have been, you know, accused of shutting down the government, but when the Democrats claim that they're reopening it, there's no news about it. I mean, even to go into CNN.com, it didn't have, you know, much anything about it as well. So today I was just kind of wondering, like, did it really happen? Is it that really, you know, did they really reopen the government again? Or is this just a farce? So I understand what you're talking about with the media because it's really seems to be one-sided, you know, as far as what to believe or, you know, what's real.
And anything scary, for especially for new brain injury survivors, when they just really don't understand what's going on outside of their home or outside the walls of their safety, is terribly frightening. People need to understand how scary that all really is until we understand it. And a lot of us just don't understand it, and I don't.
Well, I know one thing, you know, in regards to, you know, your surroundings, great point there. When Maggie and I moved into the place where we've been renting from for the past year now, it was real uncertain, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty, you know, it's like we didn't know the neighborhood, we were just, you know, had to vacate our last place and we moved in here because it was available. And then it took us some time to figure things out, like getting motion-activated lights, because we wouldn't know if somebody was coming up on the house or not, especially at night. And to hear somebody banging at our door or ringing the doorbell when, you know, just out of the blue is kind of that my PTSD kicked in. So we took steps to put light sensors out there that if somebody gets within a certain distance of the house, you know, those lights pop on. And no matter where I'm sitting at within the house, you know, I'll see a light go on. So I'll know somebody's within that perimeter, and I can get up and check it. Nine times out of a ten nowadays, it's a deer. But it's doing little things like that to restore that sense of security, you know, within your own surroundings. So I want to encourage folks to do things like that. I got another caller here calling in from the 715 area code. And welcome to WTF Movie Night. Who are we talking with from the 715 area code?
Yeah, it's Jolene again.
Well, hello there, Miss Jolene. Welcome to WTF. How are you doing tonight?
Yes, I'm doing just fine today. I had a very, very a good afternoon. I finally called our high school, and I was going to bring up this. It is going to be a movie. It's a book that I recently read from from another TBI survivor from drunk driving, and it's a very well-written book, and I'm so happy. I'm excited to see the movie. I'm very happy that I read the book. I have this thing about reading historical books and, like, books, like you said before, from true stories, especially stories from history. like dealing with the kingdoms and whatnot. I just have that thing about medieval history. But then this book, because I relate to it so heavily, dealing with the brain injury, because my brain injury was 23 years ago, but I'm getting sidetracked here. It's very, there were parts in this book where I cried.
Miracle Kid. Oh, thank you. I was just getting to that. I was just like, well, what's the name of the book?
Yeah, sorry. Miracle Kid is the title of the book written by Zachary Glavin. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. And it's a book that I brought to the attention of our high school just today. I hope that they look it over and that they seriously consider to bring it to the attention of the teenagers in the high school, because it very well may point out a very good lesson about drinking and driving. I think a lot of teenagers out there need to get that message, because I myself have a teenager that drives, and it just adds a little more stress in my life. It's just one of those things.
I'm giggling with you because I have a 16 or almost 16-year-old daughter. So fortunately, she's been well versed in drugs and alcohol as far as, you know, what they can do, and has no intention or desire to associate or be associated that kind of thing. So
right.
I feel comforted in that. But is this the Miracle Kid, the 17-year-old newborn released?
Yes.
True story of Zachary Glavin, who at 17 years old, with everything going for him, nearly lost it all with one wrong decision. The book is about Zachary's recovery from a TBI and 30-day coma to go on and graduate from college with a degree in journalism, author a book, and help others with TBIs. So, that sounds like a great book and would be a great movie to see turn into a movie. So.
Yes. And there's other movies I haven't heard regarding Henry mentioned yet, unless I just turned in a little late and it had been mentioned before, but I hadn't heard it. But that was a good movie that I had seen.
I remember that movie. That was with Harrison Ford. And,
yes, correct.
1991, actually. So before Dream Rider came out, there was Regarding Henry. I forgot about that
one.
Yes,
and I think Harrison Ford did an excellent portrayal of a victim recovering from TBI. I mean, the guy gets shot in the head, for crying out loud. And we know as from that governor, or I forget the title
Senator,
he had.
Gabby. Yeah, Gabby Gifford had been shot in the head.
Yes. So she's living proof that one can survive such a trauma of that. I mean, I grew up thinking you get shot in the head, you're done.
Right.
But no, it all. I think it all has to do with the power above.
And it really makes you, especially nowadays with the, you know, increased awareness about brain injuries, I'm finding more and more folks being more accommodating. One thing that still hasn't hit the comfort level is how law enforcement is dealing with people with brain injuries. So that's one area.
Yeah,
I've had
some personal experience with some officers myself. But there was this one time I just looked at this cop and he got that look in his eye like, okay, she's having one of those days.
Right. And we all have those days. It's just those of us with brain injuries tend to happen, A, more often, and B, we need extra things to keep us, you know, manageable, like medications. That's one thing I think one commonality a lot of people with brain injuries have is they're on some type of pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Tommy Manning, a great friend of mine here in Washington State, and the foundation for the Tommy Manning Act, which here in Washington State, every citation issued, a dollar goes to this fund. What was funny was last year he had ran out of medication and had an altercation with law enforcement, which resulted in his being committed to a state institution for almost 4 months. And he had actually kind of, quote-unquote, got lost for about a week. Nobody seemed to know where Tommy Manning was. But what really was disheartening for me was how is that possible? I mean, he's the founder of the Tommy Manning Act, or I don't want to say the founder, but he's the reason for it. So, I mean, if you just Googled the guy's name, you'd know, you know, okay, this guy's got a brain injury. Okay, he's probably not on his medications, you know. And so that would be something that, you know, I think law enforcement should be more aware of is, you know, hey, you know, when you're dealing with people, Google their names. Find out what you can about them. I mean, they got computers on their cars.
Yeah.
You know, why not? But I think that's
right.
One of the things that Craig Cecilia had really been pushing for is to get some type of authentic identification to be able to pass on to law enforcement, explaining, you know, hey, I've got a brain injury. So if I, my responses might not, my responses might be different. Case in point, was it last month? I got pulled over by a Washington State trooper who was traveling the opposite direction, and he thought he saw me blow a stop sign. I didn't. I came to a stop sign, or I came to a stop, and I pulled around. But he pulled me over about 2 miles down the road after having to make a U-turn behind three other vehicles and what have you. And when he came up and told me what he pulled me over for, you know, I was just, oh, that's what you think you saw? But if I had handed him my ID card, you know, or if I had handed him this TBI card before I opened my mouth, he probably would have been a little bit more, okay, that's just his TBI. You know, it's not that he's being disrespectful, because I wasn't. I was just, oh, that's what you think you saw? Traveling in the opposite direction while braking and three other cars impeding your visibility between us? You think I blew a stop sign? Okay, if you want to believe that, sure. You know,
right, you're making me think of when you first, excuse me, I'm sorry, Kevin,
you're making me think of
when you first told me about your, when you first got your TBI and how you talked right back to your upper officer and whatnot and kind of made him step back in his feet and say, oh, okay, I think we got something going on here.
Oh, yeah, great point. You know,
Right.
Yeah, so listeners, you know, sometimes, you know, we do, you know, those of us with brain injuries, we, our responses, you know, may not be as desirable as intended, but know this, you know, our presentations, you know, that's what I love about being with Maggie and having her constant guidance here is, you know, through repetition, been able to restore a lot of those pathways or neural pathways that have been severed in order to function better.
I wish I had a Maggie. Just that I wish I had a man Maggie.
And she wished she had a man Maggie, a male Maggie.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I need a man Maggie.
There you go. Hey, everything starts with a thought. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I bet you weren't thinking about your brain injury. Well, of course not. And that's why it happened, you know. It's because I wasn't thinking about these things, you know. And so I kind of, you know, take light about it and put it out there and go, hey, you know, it does happen. Everything does happen for a reason, you know. I'm here. And that's my proof. That's all I need. That's all we all need is the proof that we're here.
Right.
We can do something better. So Maggie's bringing
and
up
the And this book
you.
I have of the Miracle Kid, I am planning on donating this very book to the psych ward that I was last in over in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And because there are other people that are there that will benefit from this book, so I will give this book to that hospital. I just have to get my butt over there and give it to them.
I'm sure they will appreciate that and put it to good use. I mean, that's one of the big things.
Will be many other people to benefit from this book.
Yeah. It's called Pain
at Four. Some people say I should write a book.
It's funny that you mention that because a few years ago I had met Mark Victor Hansen, one of the co-creators of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. One of his things that I was inspired to come out and after meeting him was, you know, he said, we all have a book inside of us, and it's just a matter of whether or not we want to tell our story. You know, there's the old Navy commercial. It says, we all have a story. If your life was a book, would anybody read it? So it really stands to reason. I mean, really, you know, we are the creators of the realities that we see through the perceptions that we retain and maintain. And, you know, for the first 5 years, you know, of my brain injury, because I didn't have the support, I didn't have the understanding, I experienced all the negative side of life with a brain injury. But subsequently, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have learned about all the other stuff. So I want to encourage listeners to just remember, you know, it's like, hey, you know, even if something you would define as bad as occurring, get excited, because that means you're about to become better than you were.
Right.
So you're going to have to learn something to get past it, or at least, at the very least, improve your perception, you know. And that's what, you know, I think God is about. It's growing or dying, you know. It's an acronym that we use here, and you know, there is one creative source. I mean, we all have our own perceptions, and we're entitled to that. But bottom line
is, Kevin.
What's that?
I was just gonna thank you for pointing out a lot of these positive angles on all these things that previously, before I ever knew you, I was so negative towards everything. And now, by even in the short past, I've been noticing my growth since I've came across you.
That's awesome.
Someday I'm going to meet you and your family.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Someday, and we'll do that movie.
Okay.
We'll do numerous movies.
That we will. So we are... tonight, folks, we are talking about inspirational movies specifically related around traumatic brain injuries. And we've gone through a list of, we have 50 First Dates, Dream Rider, Memento, The Crash Reel. I Am. That was one. This is one of my added ones that I added to the post here tonight. Originally it wasn't, but there's a movie called I Am. It's a documentary about Tom Shadyac. He was the creator of movies like The Mask and Bruce Almighty. It was a documentary about how he had sustained a TBI. And it was just through riding a bicycle. He was out doing his thing. You'd go out for a bike ride to... you know, clear his head, and I thought that was a funny term he used, considering he crashed and sustained his brain injury. And so he went on a journey, you know, and met other people that were more educated, knowledgeable about head trauma, as well as other people, you know, like, why do you think this is happening? And the big question was, what's wrong with this world? You know, like, why did this happen? And the outlining answer was, I am. I am what is wrong with this world. It's not the government. It's me. It's my perception of the government. If I without knowing, you know, how many people could raise their hand and say, I know what the Secretary of State does. I know that's a position within our government, but what he does on a day-to-day activities, you know, not so much. But there is a great thing on Wikipedia called the Executive Schedule. And this lists 686 positions within our government, and there are well over 128 positions that don't have a job description. But my point of sharing that is, you know, it's like if we're sitting here thinking that our government is trying to screw us over, we can't be surprised when we start hearing stories that they are. Because of our lack of involvement, you know, in these things. And so what I want to encourage listeners to do is, you know, hey, remember, we do have a perfect government. They got us this far. Now see what we can do better with them. And if you're really up for that type of activity, get involved in politics. Just because you have a brain injury doesn't preclude, you know, that's not a prerequisite to being a politician. Look at George Bush. You know, everybody thought he was a little puppet, you know, for 8 years. And from all external appearances, you know, he kind of was. But, you know, he, despite the position that he held, it was the decisions that were made under his guidance and command that really, you know, took this world, woke this world up to what it was we were doing, you know, with this war on terrorism. You know, not failing to realize that a terrorist isn't a race or a religion or a skin color. It's a person and or a group of people. And that can be our own government. So don't let the definition of a terrorist, you know, be classified or strictly around a particular race or religion or demographic, because it's not. You know, I've shared with people as we're all Marines, you know, because we all improvise, overcome, and adapt. My proof?
Hoorah.
You're still here. Some of us, like myself, we just earned the title. We're all counselors. You know, because if we talk to that, you know, kid or sibling or you know, share something with a friend or coworker and it inspires them or, you know, raises their spirits, you know, that's part of what being a counselor is. Folks like Maggie, they just happen to go get their degrees in it. So we are, it doesn't mean that, you know, oh, just because I have a conversation with a friend that, oh, I can go out tomorrow and start a business as a counselor. No, it just, again, it's to what degree, it's to what capacity. But bringing this back to points of the movies here, the movie I Am, you know, with Tom Shadyac, I highly encourage folks to watch that one. It's a great portrayal and of what he went through, and a lot of us can relate to it. You know, I was able to relate to it because I was frustrated. You know, I didn't know anything about brain injury, and I think that's what inspired Tom Shadyac to make his particular movie, was because there wasn't anything about it. You know, there was, you know, brain injuries, what? You know, we hear stories about brain injuries, but we don't, you know, for those that don't have brain injuries, have really no understanding of what life is like. And for those of us with brain injuries, you know, we're having a challenging enough time just trying to make it through our days without having to try to, you know, explain to every person that we come in contact with, you know, what a brain injury is. Great question, Maggie shared is what are some movies that would be great to create? So that's a great question. Anybody, you're invited to call in at 424-243-9540.
Yeah, I'll get off the line then.
Hey, this is an open forum. We got people coming in all the time, so I think Jenny's still on with us. So you're
so we can all be on at the same time?
Yeah, that's how we roll.
That's
technology. I think. Hey, hello.
Hello. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, and how are you?
I'm doing good. This is a great experience having. I love it.
Well, good.
You know,
I love all you guys.
What I would love you to do, because it has done such wonders for me, and it's only been 6.5 years, and I had to learn this all on my own. I've had no therapy, no counseling, nobody to assist me. I'm totally isolated. Is I would like you, instead of saying good, when somebody asks you how you feel, no matter how what kind of a day it is, doesn't matter if you've had so many oopses you just wish you would disappear under the carpet, which I have done. I want to hear you say wonderful or awesome or fabulous, because you know what? It mentally changes and shifts the way you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Can always...
I'll be back.
To say that, I mean, and, well, there are times that I have a misfire, and Maggie, she'll just stop and walk away. And that's what she said, I'll be back. And that's all I need to know because, okay, she recognized that I had a misfire. I need time to medicate and get my senses about myself. Spot on there, Jenny.
And as far as a movie, I would love to see them start making movies about, because there are so many famous artists that have made millions that are just displayed in such famous places for their artwork that are brain injury survivors. There are musicians that are famous that are brain injury survivors. I'd love to see their stories of their inspiration, how they found their way back and their passion for life and what they want to give to others. I would love to see that kind of stuff.
Well, there is a, speaking of, I don't want to say famous people, but last year I had a guest on my show, Derek Amato. He was a gentleman who had acquired a brain injury through, playing with his family and kids, and had jumped into the pool and wound up hitting his head on the bottom, sustained a trauma. But 4 days, after this, he walks by a piano, no musical talent whatsoever prior to his brain injury, never picked up an instrument, read a sheet of music, none of that. But yet 4 days after his brain injury, he walks by a piano and plays it like Beethoven. And it really opened up my awareness to the fact that, hey, these brain injuries, do happen. But he is, I think he's doing a, I'm not sure if it's a movie or a book here. Hang on a sec. I thought it was a movie called A Beautiful Disaster. And so that's a great... it is a book, but I think that would be a great his story would be a great story to put into a movie format, because I mean it is amazing, because that's why I say that we as spiritual beings having this human experience, we already know everything there is to know. We just don't know how to access it. We haven't been conditioned to access this information. I mean, what else could explain a guy who, with no prior experience with music, bang his head, and he's like freaking Bach, plays the piano like Bach or Beethoven. I mean,
I'd also honestly like to see an honest movie about a married couple after a brain injury that is going through the struggles and turmoils that actually are reality.
Right. I think that would be a good one Maggie and I could actually deal with, because, I mean, there are times, especially like when my daughter comes to hang out with us on the weekend or even during the summertime. Initially, when I first got out here, it was really, she was taken back by it, oh, my God, I can't believe, Dad's response. But Maggie was very... comforting, and not only to me, but to Ashley, and explaining, Dad's not crazy. Dad's his brain injury. Just get him his medicine. He'll be fine. And, you know, once she got her head wrapped around that, as well as myself, because the medicine that I use, most people know I use cannabis, but, you know, I had not gotten out of that mentality or that belief system of, you know, drugs are bad. But yet I consumed 20,000 drugs in 2 years, 20,000 pills in 2 years. And now I just use one. So that helps me function better. But no, the point is, you know, through the repetition of these experiences with my daughter, she's able to see, you know, now, okay, it's like if I happen to have a misfire, it's like whatever. Okay, let me know when you're done, Dad. You know, she just doesn't get upset about it anymore. And it feels good when I take her back to her mom and I go like, hey, no misfires this weekend or this time or what have you. And even if I do have a misfire, you know, we work through it, you know, and we're still here. And lets her mom know that, you know, okay, so sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But, you know, both times my daughter comes back, you know, better than she did when I left her with him. So that's a good thing. But I think you're onto something there, Jenny, with the documentary of a life after a brain injury with a family.
I also think that I have an idea for another movie that people in general public would love to see that would relate, that is about brain injury, which is about TBI. But
right.
It is about a dog that is in a shelter that just needs a home. And somebody who has a family member, a loved one that just had a TBI, they go and they adopt and rescue this dog and bring it home. And the dog and the survivor connect, and they rescue each other back.
Well, I actually got that one. I'm living that one right now with Luke because Luke was a rescue dog. Yelm Animal Alliance had acquired Luke roaming around the back gates of JBLM, Joint Base McChord, Fort Lewis McChord, here in Washington State. And what was, I don't know, it got me, was he's got a scar around his muzzle. And they had shared that when they picked him up, his muzzle had been bound with wire. And so he still shows the scar. So it wasn't enough for these, you know, the people that had him to, you know, cut him loose. But the fact that they bound his muzzle before cutting him loose, you know, so he couldn't, you know, obviously couldn't bite anybody, but he wasn't going to be able to eat or drink anything. And, you know, he's, since we got him, it took about a couple months for him to get used to us. But now it's like we take him everywhere. We don't leave the house without him. He has really, in recent times, stepped up to that service animal role in response to, like, when I happen to have a misfire. I mean, I don't even have to say anything. If I just start feeling it, he gets right up into my face and tries to nuzzle me. And by doing that, it just, you know, I got to take a minute, and it takes my attention off of what I was upset about and puts it onto him. And by the time, you know, I get him back to a calm place where he's, you know, wagging his tail instead of trying to get inside of me. It's so cute. I forgot what I was upset about. So I think
you're lightening this animal.
Well, I actually thought in terms that people love animals and happy animal stories, and this would get the general public to fall in love with the dog. But it would also spread awareness about the reality of brain injury.
Yeah, he definitely is tuned into me, and you know, I saying that like attracts like. I mean, it's funny how he has displays symptoms of how I respond with my PTSD. You know, loud noises, last week we had thunderstorms. Was it last week or the week before? We had thunderstorms out here in Washington State. And Maggie and I were just coming out of an appointment together, and we're going to bring him out and take him to go to the bathroom. And he jumped out of the car about the same time as a big, you know, lightning had struck and thunder sounded. No sooner did his all 4 feet touch the ground, he popped right back up into his crate, up into the car in the SUV. And what's so funny about that is, historically, while I know he can do it, Maggie, it's just easier to pick him up and put him in there. And so even when I will take him to load him up in the car, you know, to go out on an appointment, you know, he's looking at me like, anytime now, you can pick me up. I don't care, you know. It's like, I'm not jumping anywhere. But so it was funny last week when this happened, when the thunder sounded, and he just jumped down to go pee, and boop, right back up. I mean, it was like, blink of an eye, he's back up. Maggie and I are looking at her like, are you kidding me? See, I told you he could do it. And she's like, okay, but no. But he's just, I mean, he really, like you said, Jenny, he might be a rescue dog, but he's really rescued me and Maggie. I mean, because he's really helped us be more cognitively aware of how we are speaking to one another. Because if I get into that mindset, he'll either get in my grill or disappear. And
you are absolutely correct, Kevin. And I've met online so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of survivors that are the same way you feel and I feel. We actually connect with our animal, and for some reason we learn from their instincts. They learn from ours, and they protect us. They care for us, and they become almost like a part of us.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the way they call them, dogs, man's best friend, you know. But, you know, funny sidebar here about animals. You know, it's been scientifically proven that dogs' sense of smell is 30 times greater than that of a human. So if that's true, why are they sticking their noses in each other's butts when they meet each other?
It's just their understanding of their social life.
I know. I mean, it's like we don't laugh anything about it. We're like, wait a minute here.
And their hearing is
about it.
Their hearing is so much better than ours was and is before my brain injury. But how it come, I can call them and tell them it's time to go out and nobody comes.
Right. I think it's funny with Luke. He knows certain words like ball or potty. No matter what he's doing, most of the time he'll stop and just perk up his ears, and you know he knows. But certain people's names.
You know, I think we're getting sidetracked off.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
we are. See, that's life with a brain.
Off the subject here, guys.
But a movie's about service animals with a brain injury would be a good topic for a movie. Anything else?
Right off the bat, no. I'm too busy laughing about the dog and sniffing butts. We got off topic. I'm laughing about that because I've got a stuck moment.
No, I actually got one. How about the Real Housewives of TBI Thrivers?
There you go.
That would be insanely funny. I would love. I want to be a part of it.
That would be funny. Maggie could be number
now,
one.
Would that mean I'm a housewife? I am the TBI Thriver. I'm the housewife.
Yeah, there you go. The real. Real lives of housewives.
Do you think maybe they would allow actors on? Because I'm a single gal, and I don't even remember holding hands with a guy. So, I mean, I'm not a housewife, but I'd love to play on the show because I'm a TBI Thriver, and I think it would be absolutely wonderful.
Oh,
I'll take on acting.
Could you imagine this? The TBI Bachelorette. Or, oh, okay, how about this? How about this? No, it's actually, it would be great. Because it would be a parody, kind of. TBI Survivor. Instead of Survivor,
I have another
reality show of TBI Survivor.
I have a reality show that they've actually started, and I think we should turn the tables and see if maybe they would go ahead and start it. They actually now have Autism's Got Talent, just like America's Got Talent.
I have
what
seen
about,
that.
What about
TBI?
There was a thing. That's Miracle or something like that. It was a thing on HBO, I think. They had done a documentary on children with autism, and it was a talent show. Remember, I think we still got it on TiVo. I haven't watched it in its entirety, but yeah, Maggie's going to do a search. But you're right; they do have one for autism. So why not with brain injuries? I mean, there's a lot more of us. Not that we need it, but at least the increasing the awareness of what life is like with a brain injury, I think will definitely increase the progress that we as a nation are looking for.
Okay, and my host has both.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate
my
you.
My younger son has autism.
I mean, there's always one. I mean, if you're not connected to it, you know somebody who is. And that's one of the biggest things about what my focus with WTF is about is to really get people to be aware of what they're focused on. Is it on the things that they can't do anything about, or is it the things that they can? And, doing what good is it to complain about stuff you can't change? And imagine the things you can do that you can, move forward to. So I want to thank listeners for listening in tonight on WTF, Where's the Focus? And thanks again for Craig Cecilia with his continued support. I'd like to thank my callers, Jenny and Jolene. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. We're coming down the line.
I look forward to your shows every time.
Well, thank you very much.
And bless you and Maggie. I love you both.
Well, we are blessed because of folks like
both
you.
Me too.
Ward, thank you very much. I mean, it has been an honor and a privilege to be able to do this and bring this information to you folks. Any other last thoughts or comments, you, Jenny?
No, I just want to say bless you all and the caller who called in. I think your name is Jolene.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
I wanted to say hi, and I always love to meet a new person and just talk to somebody new that is also like me and is struggling, different destination but same journey.
I hold you as a sister, honey.
There you go.
And I
because we share the same kind of life.
That is true.
I don't mean that. We share the same experience. We understand each other without words.
Absolutely.
In closing tonight, folks, we're talking about just some movies that have been inspirational. 51st Dates, and I want to 51st Dates, Memento, I Am, Dream Rider, The Lookout. The Lookout. A great movie. I highly encourage folks to watch that one. That's really hit home for me as far as the way it was portrayed, the character and his frustration when he had to attempt to make a meal, and would be a great example of why I have the marvelous Maggie, because I think that everybody with a brain injury needs to have a partner in which they can help grow with. And through creating that functional life, you'll find there's no place like home. And Les Paul, another brain injury radio host, had shared in The Wizard of Oz, chimed in and shared The Wizard of Oz as a head trauma, because that's right, Dorothy did sustain head trauma. So as we move forward this week, folks, I want to encourage you to continue to remove the negative out of your life so that you can make room for the positive. Take care and have a fantastic week. Kia kahe and Semper Fidelis.